Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 28th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And welcoming into the studio, we are going to be talking to our some great people today. First off, we have Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent Craig Broren. One more time, Craig, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate the time. Also want to introduce to you Steve Hepp. Steve, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us. So I'm Steve Hepp. I'm the Director of Pupil Services for the district, but I also serve as the principal of River Cities High School.
Good to see you again, Steve. Thanks for being here. We have Carrie Siler here with us as well. Carrie, am I saying that right?
Siler.
Okay, Siler. Carrie, thank you for being here. What is your position?
I'm the school counselor at River Cities High School.
Excellent. Thank you for being here, Carrie. And we have Marty Olivares?
Olivares.
Yes. All right. Olivares, a beautiful name. I want to get that right. Marty, thank you for being here. What do you do?
I am a teacher at River Cities, one of the special ed teachers, alt ed teachers.
Excellent. Excellent. Right out the gate, I want to let all of you know how much we appreciate you, appreciate what you put into our community, what you do for our kids, what you do for our future, really. The investment that you have made in your careers, in our future, we greatly appreciate the work that is being done. And what you're doing at River Cities High School is unique and helpful. And I would like to kind of focus on that, if you don't mind starting things off. And Steve, let's start with you as the principal and I want you to kind of talk to the audience a little bit as if they don't know what River Cities High School is and what you guys do there.
So River Cities High School is an alternative high school created for students that are credit deficient, maybe not on the same track to graduate from Lincoln High School or maybe possibly a different high school if they are from a different community. Sometimes we have students open enroll in. And if they're credit deficient, they're not on track, it's an opportunity for them to still earn their high school diploma and look at different careers and different options for life after high school. So our mission is to kind of make sure that they have the tools and the skills to be successful after they graduate. So we really try to get to know the students individually and go from there.
Very well done. Nicely done, Steve. Appreciate that. When it comes to this, I do also want to mention a personal note, if you don't mind. I didn't grow up in this school system. I grew up in the Illinois school system. I grew up in a very violent area, and my family moved around a lot. When we were moving around, my school credits and everything got lost, or paperwork got lost, and I ended up having to redo second grade. And while at the time it was very difficult, it was one of the best things to happen to me. I would end up going out here and going to school and still being a knucklehead a bit. It took me a while to really get things right and get focused on school. And I'm the fourth James in my family. None of the other Jameses had ever graduated high school. So it was very important to my family and to me that I graduated high school. Got into my senior year. I'm just about going to make it. I mean, cutting it close, but I'm going to make it. And I don't pass science. And I'm a quarter credit shy, so I was not able to graduate with the rest of my class. I took a class at Mid-State, was able to graduate within the same year, but wasn't able to walk with my students and everything, my fellow students and all that. It's something to this day that is a crook in my, it just bugs me and everything. But I'm thankful that I was able to. But I look at that back then, and I think, well, if I was in school now in that same situation, River Cities probably would have been a place for me and would have been so beneficial for me and so many students. I know I'm not alone in this. There are so many other kids out there that have a similar story to mine that could have been benefited by having a River Cities around. We're thankful to have you guys around. We're thankful to have this around. What are other examples, if you don't mind, without being too detailed or personal, certainly, of the type of kids that are really benefited from having River Cities in our town? And Steve, I don't mean to put you on the spot with this or anything, but I want the audience to understand the importance of this school.
Yeah, so a lot of times some of the students that come in, you know, when they are credit deficient, they have no chance of graduating from their high school that they were attending. So a lot of them, they kind of lose hope. And then when we have them, we have several different options for graduation that they can to kind of go through. And it kind of gives them that hope back. And then also besides just that graduation aspect of it, we really focus on, okay, now what? Okay, what's going to happen after high school? It's not just about graduating from high school. It's the skills, the things they need to be successful after school or after high school. And then we have a lot of students that when they first come in, they you know, they don't think they're going to graduate. Then they learn that they're going to graduate. And then it's about, okay, now what? Maybe it's going to Mid-State or some sort of other post-secondary college. And we do have quite a few students that do that. And sometimes we have students that will take a class or two while they're still with us. Or sometimes we have, our staff are really good at connecting with our students with community members and different workforce environments where they can go in and job shadow or get some connections, and they can get connected with some different opportunities that maybe they didn't have before.
So much of school, especially at the later levels, is preparing kids for the next stage of their lives and getting them prepared for that. It's no different with this, but it's I don't want to say it's more vital, but it is so important with that. You mentioned a word that I think is really, really important with this conversation that I want everybody to keep remembering, not so much you guys, you already know it, but our audience to really remember as we're talking about this, what it means to have hope. I did not grow up with that. I did not grow up with a lot of that in me. And it was a lot of my teachers that gave that to me and gave me an idea that you don't have to go down this path. You can go down other paths. It's your life. You can choose these things. They gave me something that I couldn't get anywhere else, but was in me that I just didn't know. And that hope. And that may seem simple. It may seem like to people out there that have plenty of it, you know, what's the big deal? It's just hope. It is everything. It is everything. It's that thing that gets you up in the morning. It's that thing that makes you cram for a test that you don't know that if you can pass or not. It's such an integral part to the youth. And to think that you think of that, that you have that in mind, that you, your staff does, that goes so much farther than we can even put into words for these kids. Whatever they do with their lives going forward, having that hope and giving some encouragement to that, feeding that hope. I can't imagine how much farther they will go in life because they had that. I'm also curious about if there is a different style of teaching or a different approach to these students than you would have at other schools. Marty, have you taught at other schools? I didn't get a chance to look at your bio real quick beforehand or anything, but I'm curious, teaching at other schools compared to here, what differences there might be, if there are any.
Yes, I taught at East Junior High when that was open for 20-some years.
I thought you did. Okay.
And then I taught at the middle school for a year, and then I moved to River Cities. And it is just a wonderful experience. And like Steve said, hope is huge. I mean, that's what we bring every day to these kids, and they bring that to us. And so I think that's the big difference is, you know, we enjoy being there, and we want the kids to enjoy being there and see that there's a lot out there for them, and we're going to give that to them.
Well said. Yeah. That's interesting to hear. Let's go. Steve, do you see any different approach with this school compared to others or anything?
Well, I think one big thing is it is a smaller school and we have a smaller staff, but the staff really has an opportunity to get to know the students individually, really get to know them when they come in and learn about their skill sets and what they need to move forward. And it's really interesting watching students when they first come in and see them grow throughout the year and see how they become comfortable in that environment and they start to open up more because they know it's a trusting environment. They know it's a safe environment for them.
And I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Carrie, I'm curious, too, when it comes to your position and what you do. Certainly, it's something that every school is benefited by having a counselor, by having somebody there that can be a third party, that can be so many things for these kids at that time in their lives when they don't have a lot of things that they can go to or trust. And having a good school counselor, somebody that they can really lean on, it really goes a lot farther than we realize. Again, something that I learned. I was such a knucklehead, you guys. I really was. And I was struggling and dealing with a lot of things I didn't even know I was. But our school counselor over at, I believe, East, took a moment, took some time and spent some time with me and gave me some lessons that I just got done teaching to some students of mine about a month or two ago where I did teach at Second City. And that's an improv school. That's just acting and everything. And I was talking to a 34-year-old man. And I was giving him a lesson that I learned at 14 from my guidance counselor, who was integral to not only my looking at myself and my self-worth, but having that thing again, hope, having some of that. Do you find this position at this particular school more necessary than other jobs maybe you've done or just more vital work? Is there any part of it that stands out to you more than at other places you might have worked?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about this position, because I kind of feel like when you walk into our building, you would not know really who does what. Sometimes I'm in the office answering phones. Sometimes, you know, Marty's putting a Band-Aid on someone, you know.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, in the kitchen, yeah. You wouldn't really, we all kind of do it all together. As far as the counseling piece, I think that the only difference is that I have a lot more flexibility to do different things. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, I don't sit in an office and wait for kids to come in. We're all, you know, it's a different position than I think people would visualize in the regular setting. The important piece, I feel that I like to bring to the table is that just knowing that everybody comes from a different place and helping them figure out why they are the way they are, and how to make themselves better individually. It's so important for us to look at each student that comes in and all of their experiences and how we can take those things and build.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many great things our students have.
It wasn't an easy question to answer, and I appreciate your answer, and it very well worded, by the way. Two notes on that. One, part of the reason I ask these questions of you guys is so that the audience, again, has another understanding of this school, these kids, no different than any other. No different. They're the same as any other set of kids out there with some of the same problems and some of the same things going on through their heads and hearts. It's important to note when we're talking about the school. I think it's also noteworthy what you mentioned there about multiple hats. We know something about that in radio. That you don't get in the radio and you're doing this. Oh, you're also going to be doing all these things. It's important to note when we're talking about our education and why we need funding and why we need more and more good people in this industry and more funding and attention brought to our schools. When we have bills up for passing and different things, we've seen in recent years, some of these get passed, some of them don't. It's important to fund and to invest in our youth, invest in our education. It is the future. I just double checked beforehand and it turns out kids are the future. And so it feels like a good idea to invest in that. So I don't want to encourage people to do so and maybe take a couple of tasks off these guys' plates and everything and give them the freedom to be able to do other things. Not that you all are complaining, because you never do. Teachers don't do that. But I do think that it's important that we can touch on this subject whenever we can about the funding in our school systems and how vital it is. And I appreciate that answer very much, Carrie. Thank you. Is there anything that you think is noteworthy about your positions, if you will, that you think the audience would be good to know about what you do over there?
Well, one thing, I'll go back to something that Steve said. Students, you know, they start off with us maybe not feeling great about school, not feeling great about their future. And the first part of, I think, what we do well is I don't want to say break down the barriers, but allow them to feel safe and comfortable. And we do have a rule. They're supposed to have fun. They have to have fun at school. We have fun. We like to be at school. We laugh a lot. In fact, sometimes I feel like it's probably you walk in and go, are you guys working? Are you having too much fun? But we laugh with our kids. And I think then they feel that they're in a place that they can learn and they can make plans for their future and they feel good about their futures. And I know that I just ran into a graduate who was in tears about our building and what that meant to him. And it was just amazing. We run into students all the time. I know, Marty, you've been contacting students through another program, and it's just amazing to hear what some of them are doing and for them to reflect on the relationships that were built at our school.
Mm-hmm. And we love when they come back and visit and just tell us what they're up to, what they're doing, and how life is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how far that takes things and how much that helps, especially the grind that the school year can be and everything. We love our jobs, love doing what we're doing, but we also know what a hard day can feel like. So having those kind of things to kind of fall back on and everything can only be a benefit to that, as well as just an everyday kind of thing. As we're wrapping up talking a little bit about River Cities High School, Steve, I was wondering, is there any other notes or anything else that you think would be good for the audience to know about what you guys do over there, the school itself, for the students?
Well, I think, one, I think it's important that we appreciate the community support. I think we get a lot of support from different foundations, different businesses. People, I think, realize what a good opportunity it is for students. So we really appreciate that. We appreciate the school board being so supportive in getting this going, because we do not have, there's not a lot of other districts that have a building like this. You know, and Craig, as a superintendent, has been super supportive as well, making sure that we have everything that we need to be successful in what we're doing over there. So I think that's one of the biggest things. I just reiterate the importance of the building, that we are able to provide something different for students that need something different, and that we're very appreciative of the support we have.
We're appreciative of you guys and the work that you're doing.
Yep. And then we're also, this next year will be the start of our 25th year, so we're excited about that as well.
That, man, that took me off guard. Yeah. 25 years, I didn't realize it's been that long. That is great to hear. Man, that's one of our good stories of the day right there. That's pretty cool. Thank you all for the conversation. Really do appreciate it. I want to kind of springboard and segue into Craig a little bit with that, what you were saying there, Steve. Craig, for you, getting this started, seeing this, I should say, encouraging this, supporting this school, and schools like it in our area, in our district, where did you see a need? Why did you see this being so important?
Well, so I'm going to, I guess, put the emphasis where it belongs. I have, frankly, absolutely nothing or incredibly little to do with the success or relative success of River Cities High School. So, and that's something that I'm happy to own. I'm lucky enough to have been involved with a district that had an alternative school started in 2000. John Greenlow is a former pupil services director that was instrumental, among other people, in getting that started at the time. Gus Mancuso was Lincoln High School principal as well. I know there were others involved. I don't remember who those people are, so I don't mean to discredit anybody by not naming names. But and John and his wife come back to River City's graduation every year. And so I've only been part of that process for about 7 years. And frankly, from the perspective of any district leadership, whether it's superintendent or director or whatever your role may be, when you have a facility with the human beings like you do at River Cities High School that operates largely independently and autonomously with the best interests and needs of kids at heart, and awesome things are happening, then of course that direct involvement or any kind of, you know, significant accountability or oversight, there's always backdrop of accountability. They can't go there and do whatever they want to do. But on the same hand, there's no reason to insert yourself in things that are successful. And I want to ensure that I take no credit whatsoever for the relative success of River Cities High School, although I'm honored to have been able to be supportive of what is an outstanding program. And that's true with you know, many respects to the district. And in serving in these positions, it's simpler, you know, it's a similar mindset to what are areas that truly need focus? Where can you see engagement and change take place that's going to be effective based on the time and the condition you find yourself in, right? Mm-hmm. And don't, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, I mean, it's one of those sort of scenarios. And River Cities in particular, you can point to as just being completely self-sufficient and really, in this is personal opinion now, I'm divorcing myself from the superintendent role, but this is exactly what we need to do, but on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that I will say about public education is that we are doing a much better job because we recognize it's not a one-size-fits-all. That's the way it was when I was in school. I'm sure many people that are listening, that's the way it was too. You sat there, you got the content. If you didn't get it, it was kind of like too bad. Now, your teachers didn't just say too bad and, you know, walked away. But a focus is really to individualize instruction and ensure that kids of varying abilities and you know, all these other factors get what they need. River Cities has the capability of making that happen. And I was at, by my own request, they have, I'm trying to think of the terminology, where you're kind of visiting or debriefing on every student and having, and it's exactly, so the backdrop is kind of it's called MLSS, multi-level systems of support. And so this is an idea around both behavior and academics and social emotional supports and learning. And the idea that we identify where a kid is at, utilizing data, both anecdotal as well as collected data, and identify what we need to do as a, as an individual or as a school building or as a classroom, whatever the case may be, to ensure they're successful or can see better success in areas of academics, behavior, social emotional learning, whatever the case may be. So it's this multifaceted sort of data-informed decision making. And of course, we're engaged in that in the district, district-wide. Where you have, you know, for example, 1,350 students at Lincoln High School, it looks much different than where you have 150 or 200 students at River Cities. Although what I will say is, having been involved in that process, now sitting there, I wasn't directly involved, but, you know, getting a better understanding of how that goes, in my opinion, that's exactly what you need to do, what these folks did. They had conversations on multiple levels about the kid as a human being and not the kid as just like numbers on a page. Now, that's part of the conversation. But when you have four or five or six adults around the table that are all engaged talking about and sharing things about this student, that it's like, oh, my God, how do you even know that? It shows you the depth of the relationship and also the extent that they're willing to go to ensure that those kids are successful. And so that's with the beauty of the program, in my opinion, and that's what makes it function, and that's also why you would look at that as a rational person, in my opinion, and be like, okay, as long as they're doing what they need to be doing, and as long as we can, you know, show support, and if they need things, we can assist in that regard, but why would you get involved in that when something is working as well as it is?
With something so important and so varied and depth, and so much depth to it, like education, the idea of here's this size, make it fit, doesn't make sense. It never did. We're correcting that now.
Yeah.
I forgive the sports metaphor and everything. I can't help myself, but so many coaches, it's my way or the highway. This is what I've always done. Here's my playbook. Learn it. Andy Reid gets Patrick Mahomes and says, what are your skill sets? What are you good at? I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to change up my playbook completely. They go and win a couple Super Bowls. I mean, this is the kind of thing that can happen when you adjust your teaching and you adjust to the student. You adjust to the person that you're working with. It not only makes the betterment of our system and our education system, but our future. Again, because that's what this is about, everybody, is the future of our country, of our world, of our industries. Everything is on the line here with this. So we need to be paying attention to it. We need to be making these adjustments where we can. And we need to appreciate the people that are in this industry and that make this industry run. And we appreciate you, Craig. You've been a game changer in this area, the approach and your way of talking, not just to us, but to these students. We have so enjoyed working with you and having you on the air with us. Wishing nothing but the best going forward. The only thing I ask is don't be a stranger. Every once in a while, reach out, let us know how you're doing and everything, man. But know that you are appreciated and you made an impact on this community. And most importantly, not just to me or even these guys here, but these kids. These kids are going to remember you, man. And we appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Did want to make note that new Superintendent Ron Rasmussen is looking forward to continuing the tradition of joining us here monthly. Interested to see about that. That should be a good conversation going forward. Thank you all so much for what you do, putting up with me and my questions, and hopefully having a good time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate all of you. Craig, we'll talk again soon. You take care, sir.
Thanks, James.
Did you have any final notes? I can let you. I didn't want to cut you off if you had anything.
Well, I just wanted to thank the community for the support that they've shown the school district and myself. I'll freely admit that I'm acquired taste. I'm an interesting human being in many ways, shapes, and forms. One of my least redeeming qualities is my big fat yip yapper, but. I think that, tolerating that and recognizing where the passion is coming from and the idea that it is about being supportive of kids because, you're right. I mean, the things that we're doing as a school district are super important, and how that ties into the community was clearly an area of focus over the last 7 years. So I'm very appreciative of the opportunity, and I won't be a stranger. I'll certainly stay in touch, and you feel free to reach out as well. And I just am. Appreciative of the opportunity afforded to me and my family, and it's been outstanding.
Yeah, we'll be talking again soon, sir. Take care. A big thank you to all of you for joining us again. I want to send a big shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine next week, 4 to 5, right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.